What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Greetings, colleagues, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. My name is Dr. Daryl Glover, and along with me is the lovely Dr. Jennifer Lyerly. And today's show is sponsored by Vision Expo East. Today's guest needs no introduction. He's well-known throughout the entire optometric community. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome our friend, Dr. Kui Nguyen. So, Dr. Kui, tell us about yourself and your background in optometry.
Yeah, you know, so I really got looked into optometry probably my senior year in college because I wanted to do something in healthcare. So at the time, I was going to Berkeley in the West Coast, and I found this wonderful private practice that I got a chance to shadow at, and then afterwards they wanted to hire me. So, you know, everybody there was just so happy with their careers and taking time off to hang out with their kids when they can, and, you know, it got me really motivated into doing this. And so 2009, I gone to SUNY and started school there. Graduated in 13, and, you know, when I started working, you know, around the New York City area, there's a lot of jobs, but a lot of them you have to kind of stitch together. You know, there's not a lot of, say, full-time jobs. So that, you know, was actually a blessing in disguise because I got a chance to work in an optical. I got a chance to work in a private practice, even work with a startup briefly. And then I did find myself working in an ophthalmology practice for the next 3 years or so. And so that's the bulk of my clinical experience. I work with a LASIK cataract surgeon, an oculoplastics, and a retina surgeon. And I spent one day in the week in the hospital taking care of a lot of their consultations there. So, you know, that was for a good 3 years in my career. And then I got a chance to move over to SUNY to direct their career development center. So I've been there since 2015. So it's 2018 now. Wow, it goes by quick. But
time flies when you're having fun, my friend.
Yeah, So I've been there a little bit over 2 years at this point. So, you know, it feels like a short ride, but it feels like there's a lot that's been done as well. So it's been exciting, and I'm not sure what's going to be ahead, but excited for it.
I would say that's a very non-traditional early start to your career, but that's also been kind of your MO because you had a non-traditional school setting too. You were actually roommates with Matt Geller of New Grad Optometry fame. So tell me a little bit about what that was like.
Yeah, you know, it must have been actually in our first year in school, probably 2009, when Matt started tinkering with the idea of starting a blog. And, you know, at the time, I don't know how many blogs were there at the time, probably a lot still, but they aren't as ubiquitous as they are today. You know, what was it like? Well, I mean, it's kind of like the image you get with, you know, two kids in the dorm room and their laptops, you know, except that we didn't make billions, you know? So, you know, after school, you know, Matt would, you know, get us some ideas going, and I would help him start with some content. And, you know, I'd like to take all the credit for it, but actually Matt was really the workhorse behind everything. And, you know, whenever there was an event or a social event, you know, a lot of the times Matt gave up that time to work on the blog, and then he would spend the rest of the time studying for school. So, you know, Matt did a lot of work on that. And, you know, when I reflect on it now, it's kind of interesting to see where blogs and just sort of the online space has gone. You know, it used to be just a lot of blogs, and then you guys notice a lot of pictures and a lot of video. And these days, you know, they're starting to do YouTube or Facebook Live, and you know, you guys are doing podcasts. A lot more blogs are popping up everywhere these days. So, you know, it's interesting to look back and see that it's gone really far, you know? And Matt's moved on to New Grad and Covalent Careers. So what started to be a small project turned out to be a pretty big kind of life-changing.
Daryl, I don't know about you, but I remember at the time in optometry school, a lot of us did have personal blogs. It was a little bit like a branch off of, if anybody remembers, archaic time of LiveJournal, right?
Yeah.
So you would have your personal blogs where you're sharing personal stories, things like that. It's mostly your family who is reading it.
Yep.
And then some people, Matt, is a great example, had this insight like, well, I could do a professional blog and have this polished for like other people that throughout the world to kind of represent optometry as a whole. And
exactly,
it seems like such an obvious thing to have decided, but that was not what was going on in the blogging space at the time.
Right. I think, you know, hindsight's 20/20, they say, right? And it totally is in this case, because, you know, even in high school, I used to have these things called Zanga, you know, that we used to blog on. And then there's Tumblr and a few other ones, right? And I'm sure a lot of us had, you know, like Jen, like you said, a lot of personal blogs, but none of us thought to do something professionally because we thought that blogs were more just casual, you know, not professional.
That's a great point. With blogs going from being more casual to more professional, with you being director of career development at SUNY, how does social media play a role in career development? Are you talking about this with the students? How is this going to impact their overall career in the optometric industry? What kind of dialogue is taking place?
Well, I mean, I think all of us get some visibility because we do things like this, you know? And so I do talk to the students a lot, especially when I, you know, advise them or I give a lecture. I say, you know, it is really important to have a LinkedIn page or to have a blog if you're interested in something, because this is how your name gets out there these days, you know? I would meet somebody, for example, at a networking event, and it used to be that I would keep all their cards, but now if I get a card, I'll add them on LinkedIn also, because, you know, that's another way to keep in touch with them and if you ever need to reach out to them. In fact, I think we invited you guys last year. We had a program at the Vision Expo, the student program, and I reached out to you guys on LinkedIn, in fact, right?
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah. And, you know, as far as our career development center, when I came on board, I realized that it used to be, you know, when I was a student, it's not that long ago, but we were very responsive to emails. And I realized when I started at SUNY that students weren't as responsive, but if I posted something on their Facebook page, they have these class Facebook page, they're much more responsive. In fact, sometimes seconds immediately after you post. So Daryl, what I started doing is I created a page for us, our center, on Facebook as well. And I use that for our students.
Awesome.
So that's one way I've kind of incorporated into, you know, my work.
So Director of Career Development, Daryl, did you have that at Salus? I don't remember that position at SCO. Is this a position that just got recently created, Kui, or is it there when you were a student as well?
Yeah, you know, it was created around 2012. And at the time, in our strategic plan for the college, we wanted to have something that really serves not just our students, but also our alumni. And so this position got started. And in fact, the first director of the center was a lawyer. And, you know, I was very much involved in school and knew a lot of people. And, you know, they hired me on, and I was the first OD at this position, which is kind of interesting because I don't have quite, you know, the director before. He was very good with negotiations, contracts, that type of stuff. You know, I'm much more able to relate to students because of my work background, you know, so that was the main difference. I would say a lot of people are happy to have an OD in the office, you know, because they can ask a lot of questions about a career that they're about to get into once they graduate. So it's been good in that way.
Yeah, I think that makes a world of difference. I want to have communication with someone that's going to relate to me, someone that's been through the struggle, know exactly what I'm going to encounter in the future, and just give me good insight on the profession and the future of optometry.
Right.
I mean, it's great to have an outside perspective, but when you could talk to someone that's actually lived it, that's actually done it, it makes a world of difference. Now, I wanted to circle back on something. You mentioned a Vision Expo. How important is the Vision Expo in regards to your career development, especially when it comes to networking and just building your personal brand in general?
Well, I think in any profession, I think it's important for you to be involved in professional organizations and be involved in the big events that happen around that profession. So, you know, it's done a lot for me. So just being involved and, you know, I know Rachel Salibus, you guys know, she does a lot with the schools. And, you know, whenever she asked me to do something, I would try and help. You know, I show up to the events, I talk with the docs, I keep in touch. 2 years ago, Rachel came up with the idea of pop-up talks. And at the time, I've never done one before, but the idea sounded interesting. So I volunteered to do it. But that led to them asking me to lecture at a CE. And then that led to more CEs. And it's really allowed me to meet a lot of different people. And actually, I'm also on the Young Professionals Club Advisory Board because of my involvement. So, you know, if you're somebody who wants to be involved in many different ways and challenge yourself and have more opportunities, this is definitely the space to do it.
So last year at Vision Expo, you taught the very popular course, I wish I was taught this in optometry school. I mean, what were some of those things that you wish you were taught? Give us the scoop on that.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say it's anything like technical or, you know, or top secret, anything like that. I think it's really just putting all my experience up to that point into a presentation. So what are some things that I wish I would think about, or how would I reframe the way I think about my careers in a way that would help? So for example, you know, the idea of giving back to your profession, you know, like that's something that all of us kind of do, but we don't realize how important that is. So if someone asked me to, hey, Kui, can you come back and be on a panel? Or, hey, Kui, can you help us write this article? Or, hey, Kui, can you do this or that? You know, usually I will say yes. And not only is that great for the school because you're helping them so much or the organization, but I think it when you help somebody like that, when you do need something in return, they're much more willing to help you. So just the idea of giving back, you know, so that's something that I focused on a lot. Another one is just really being open-minded and adaptable. When I started my job at SUNY, our president now, Dr. Heath, he says, you know, just because something has always been done a certain way before doesn't mean that it's the best way. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff we would see on, like, you know, Instagram or on the internet somewhere, but it really got me thinking, you know, like the way that optometrists have practiced or the way that we have done certain things, you know, we don't have to do those same things anymore, especially with the way that things are changing. So I'll give you an example. I use some case studies in my talk. Like one of my colleagues, Dr. D'Angelo, she started a private practice in Long Island, and she takes, you know, no vision insurance there, you know, because she was trained in vision therapy and she found a way to network with a concussion center that sends her a lot of patients from the referral center. And, you know, that's enough of a patient base for her to not have to practice. Or I would give another example of, you know, Ryan Court, how you guys know Ryan, right?
Yes, sir. Ryan's the man.
Yeah, you know, so he's also very adaptable. You know, he's found a way to leverage social media to help with his projects. You know, he told me how he kind of used LinkedIn as a digital playground professionally. You know, he would write a lot of articles. He would connect with a lot of different people. And I think if you look on his LinkedIn page, probably got more than like 10 or 15,000 people that he's linked with, you know? So when Ryan started his blog and his video website, I think a lot of people knew about it just simply because he was adapting to the changing times, you know?
I mean, talk about great advice to think outside the box, to be flexible with where your career path can go. I mean, Daryl, what have you thought? Like some of the things you wish you knew you were back in optometry school days before you got out there in the real world.
You know, Jen, I wish they would have focused more on the business aspect. I mean, they put 100% focus on a clinical aspect, which I get. We don't want to be out there jacking up anyone's eyes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, optometry is a business and we need to know more about the business. And also another thing is the marketing aspect. I feel like we weren't taught how to market. And with disruptive technology out there, marketing is a key factor, which could definitely change our overall look and perspective of optometry. In regards to social media, I've always been in social media. I feel like I was ahead of the curve in regards to that. But the two key things is definitely marketing as well as just the business aspect of optometry.
Yeah, I want to add to that. I don't think we do a good job of marketing ourselves. Do you think, Daryl?
Not at all.
Yeah, I think a lot of us think that, you know, we do well in school, we graduate, we pass our boards, we get our license. We think that's enough, but you know, I don't think it's enough anymore. You know, if you want exposure, you got to really have to leverage the digital space.
Absolutely. So what's your favorite social media platform to hang out on?
Well, it depends for what. I think if it's linking up with people professionally, I think LinkedIn is the most professional social media platform that I know of. You know, I think Facebook is good for the older generation. And now I think a lot of the younger generation now is using mostly Instagram and Snapchat, right?
Yep, you're dead on.
There's a little bit of gender differences that I see across the platform too, where you guys, I think, have been super successful on LinkedIn. There's a much stronger body of female optometrists linking up on Instagram. And I don't know if it's just like the way the platform works. And as women, maybe we're more likely to respond to the visual side of it, but I see such a difference in where young ODs are connecting, just gender-based even.
Huh. So you're seeing more females on Instagram, you're saying, Jen?
There's definitely men on Instagram too, don't get me wrong. I mean, Daryl, you're really popular on there too, but just like the connections and the social connections that are being made, it seems really active for young female optometrists on Instagram right now versus
yep.
You guys talk about the success you're having connecting on LinkedIn. I don't see, while women are using that, it's not the same sort of platform for them that I think Instagram has become.
Let's just keep it real, Jen. Men just aren't as creative as women when it comes to the whole social media game, especially when it comes to Instagram. Guys, we like to keep stuff basic and simple. To be able to pick up your computer, type up an article, tag a few folks is a lot easier than trying to find the right angle when it comes to lighting or take the best picture or pose. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think there is a gender difference between the social media platforms. Me personally, I love Instagram because I do like fashion, but at the same time, I do love networking when it comes to LinkedIn as well. And also, I look at it as, you know, what type of demographic you're trying to cater to. When it comes to Instagram, it's more of a business to consumer or business to patient platform for me. And then also LinkedIn is more of a business to business, business to colleague type of platform for me as well.
Yeah, you know, one of my friends actually, I used him also as an example in my talk. He uses Instagram for his practice. So what happens is after his patients pick out the frames and they have their exam, he actually features them on their practice Instagram page and tags them. You know, I think it's a great way to involve the patient in your practice. You know, and I think he's done a good job with that as well.
I mean, here's the thing with Facebook. I think it's kind of a requirement now as a business owner. You're going to have a business Facebook page.
Right.
But the way Facebook algorithms are set, the chance of your patients actually seeing you and interacting with you on Facebook now is pretty low. And uh-huh. People have seen the number of interactions on their Facebook posts go from like, you know, let's say you have a couple thousand followers on Facebook. You used to get your stuff shown to several hundred people. Now you're lucky to get around 50 people seeing your stuff because the way Facebook has redone their algorithm. So you have to constantly, when you're doing social media marketing, reinvent how you're using platforms and what platforms you're using because these companies continue to change things up.
Right. So what's the next big platform, you guys? So I can get on it before it gets big.
$1 million question right now. I still think Instagram has a lot of growth and is probably the most functional thing to be using as a practitioner to connect right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really surprising to think that Instagram would be this big, you know, because it used to be just a platform where you post photos, right? But it's very effective.
I heard someone describe it the other day as the next generation's QVC. And I totally see that. I think that's where a lot of us are going to be doing our shopping in the next, you know, right now you can do it, but it's going to become really prevalent.
Yeah.
Actually, Jen, there's a new social media platform in a backyard. It's called SpokeHub. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. Oh, no. I'm living under a rock already.
Well, my friend in Parks, he actually told me about it. And basically, from what I understand, the whole SpokeHub deal is, you know, they're trying to bring conversation back. So I'm looking at the website right now, and basically what they're stating is that, you know, it's a platform where people can chat and connect with others around topics that you love, rather than simply liking a photo or going on emoji spree, which we all do. With SpokeHub, you can communicate with each other again, listen, laugh, talk, cheer, and, you know, just basically have real dialogue instead of just looking at images the entire time. So it'll be interesting to see where this social media platform goes. But I'm definitely going to, you know, sign up for it because it's in our backyard. And you got to show love to North Carolina, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm curious how that'll work out because I get the sense the opposite is happening where it used to be text and then it was pictures and then it was video. I feel like we need more and more stimulation in terms of the visuals. So I'm really curious what will happen when we do only text.
I'll be looking into it. You know, I'm one of those people, I keep thinking that we've had this big trend that everything's a professional curated presentation, right? Even Instagram where you're posting pictures, like they're edited to the nines, like we're putting forward this magazine worthy appearance of everything we do. And I keep thinking there'll be this trend back to like our origin days of like this real personal, low-key, live journal, Zanga, that sort of stuff. And but it hasn't happened yet. And I've been thinking that for like 5 years. More Photoshop actually is still happening.
Yeah, I think so.
One of these days, we're all going to be walking around with like no makeup and no filters on our photos and actually embracing that. And if you look over-processed, people won't like it. But we'll see how long that takes.
Hey, SpokeHub may take us back to that reality.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a trend for that, you know? No filters trend.
So I know we're gearing up for Vision Expo coming up in this spring, and you are very involved with the Vision Council and serving with the Young Professionals Club. What can we look forward to at Vision Expo?
Well, you know, for me, it's the same every time. You know, I love to go to exhibit halls and check out the new technologies and the different optical vendors to see what's going on there. Obviously, I'm sure you guys love the social events to meet with your colleagues and network. You know, I do a lot of that as well. So there's a new Young Professionals Lounge that's being launched this year. Matt's a new grad optometry and Pavilion Careers. You know, they'll have a lot of networking events there and happy hours as well. And then, of course, you know, I always try to see if I can go to the ODs and Facebook events, the corporate optometry. And then, you know, if the schools have any alumni receptions, you know, that's also a good place to go as well, just to kind of relax and meet everybody. Oh, and then, of course, if you're there for CE, I'm lecturing, and I don't know if you guys are.
Yes, check us out if you guys want any social media practice management lectures. Daryl and I are giving 3 hours on how to utilize social media and search engine optimization to grow your business. So thanks for the shout out, Kui.
Yeah, sounds like a very pertinent issue these days. So I hope some people will go to that for sure.
Yeah, Jen and I actually taught a class last year at Vision Expo East, and it was on Sunday at 8 a.m. in the morning. And we thought for sure no one would show, but the class was packed.
Oh, man. Isn't that great?
I was very excited. I mean, it brought a big smile to my face. And I know Jen was pretty pumped up as well.
Oh, my gosh. No, 8 a.m. on Sunday, I was like, what kind of crazy person would be here? And then there were people in the room. And we got upgraded this year. Now we're not on Sunday at all. So, woo!
Hey, I used to be on Sunday, too. Now on Friday. So,
Moving on up.
Well, you know, for those classes, you don't need your coffee to wake you up. The crowd will wake you up. So,
yeah, that's the one thing I love about Vision Expo is the continuing education courses that are available. I mean, they have the best in the world, and I look forward to it every single year. This year, I'm super excited about a few glaucoma courses, dry eye, practice management, and of course, the courses that we're teaching, social media. But I love Vision Expo's continuing education catalog. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, there's a lot of different options. I mean, if you look through just the catalog, there's just so many options, you know, that usually will fit someone's needs, you know.
Well, hopefully we've inspired you guys today. If you've got an idea or even just like the early seed of an idea about doing something different in optometry that you want to kind of flesh out, get mentorship, see how you can partner with industry people to grow that idea. I mean, Vision Expo is a great place to make those connections. And obviously, Dr. Nguyen will be there at the Young Professionals Lounge.
Uh-huh.
The happy hour he was talking about is on Friday and Saturday from 4:30 to 6. And that's on level 3 at the New Grad Optometry and Covalent Careers booth.
I guess the last thing I'll say, Jen, is just to echo what you say is, you know, especially for young professionals, I mean, if you have ideas or you want to take a chance to do something, the time is right now. You know, if you wait a little bit later and you have kids and you have a family, you're less likely to take these small risks to do these things. You're probably going to want to have a more stable career. So I think now's the time to do it. To go out there and meet some folks and just really get your feet wet, you know, like you guys.
Absolutely. And we're rooting for you. So if you guys have ideas you want us to get input on, Daryl and I and obviously Quee, we're happy to help make that happen. So we believe in your dreams too.
Well, Quee, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, man. And I definitely look forward to seeing you at Vision Expo East. For those listeners that want to get in touch with you and just learn more about what you have going on and insight on the Vision Expo East, what's the best way for them to contact you or get in touch with you?
Well, we talked about social media. You know, they're more than welcome to add me on LinkedIn and send me questions or anything.
Awesome, Quee. And thanks again for hanging out with us. We look forward to seeing you at Vision Expo. And remember, March 15th through the 18th at the Javits Center in New York City, the Vision Expo is going down. And guess what, guys? You can register for free. All you have to do is hit up the visionexpony.com/defocusmedia and registration's on us. Or just hit up our website and click on the Vision Expo banner and it'll take you directly to the free registration. Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.